Little Steven's Underground Garage is next after a world news update on VOA Music Mix.
Hamas militants execute Palestinians accused of giving Israel information. And some of those Russian trucks pull out of Ukraine. I'm Marty Johnson reporting from Washington. Hamas militants in the Gaza Strip have executed 18 Palestinians accused of collaborating with Israel. Witnesses say militants lined up at least seven of the men outside a mosque in one of Gaza's main squares. The gunmen then shot the suspects in front of hundreds of people. A note posted nearby said the men had leaked information about the location of tunnels, fighters, and weapons that were later struck by Israel. The executions took place one day after Israel killed three top Hamas military commanders. Also on Friday, Hamas claimed responsibility for kidnapping and killing three Israeli teenagers in June, an incident that led to the current war in Gaza. President Barack Obama's administration says the killing of American journalist James Foley by militants from the Islamic State group amounts to a direct terrorist attack on the United States. Mr. Obama's deputy national security advisor, Ben Rhodes, says the U.S. is ready to take additional action against Islamic State fighters to protect Americans because the group poses a much greater risk and threat than it did 6 months ago. Islamic State fighters have gained control of a large swath of territory in northern Iraq and Syria in recent weeks. 10 East African countries have pledged a total of 5,000 troops by December for a new regional standby force. The regional heads of state, 10 of which are signed up for the plans, decided in June they want their standby force to be ready by December of this year. The military spokesman, General Joseph Nzambalwita.
The East African standby force heads of state decided that due to the insecurity that is prevailing in the Eastern Africa region, the member countries need to take urgent steps.
This is VOA News. Several trucks from a Russian convoy that crossed into the Ukraine without permission from Kiev have turned back across the border into Russia. Witnesses said today more trucks from the over 220 vehicles that entered Ukraine Friday are now back at the border preparing to re-enter Russia. It's not clear if the trucks are carrying any cargo. On Friday, White House officials called Russia's unauthorized movement of the humanitarian truck convoy into Ukraine a flagrant violation of Ukraine's sovereignty. U.S. Deputy National Security Advisor Ben Rhodes said Russia must remove the convoy from eastern Ukraine or face consequences. And he also said the U.S. will discuss the situation at the U.N. Security Council. Thousands of protesters calling for Pakistan's Prime Minister Nawaz Sharif to step down continue to camp out in front of the parliament in Islamabad. Critics fear irreversible economic and political losses if the protests continue, as Ayaz Ghul reports from the Pakistani capital.
Pakistan is witnessing a sustained period of democratic rule, and last year's parliamentary elections resulted in the first ever transfer of power from one elected government to another. But 14 months later, two opposition figures have gathered thousands of their supporters in Islamabad to force Prime Minister Nawaz Sharif out of office. Interior Minister Nisar Ali Khan told reporters Friday evening that the rallies have effectively disrupted life and business and education activities in the capital. While addressing his supporters at Islamabad's rally, Khan has also repeatedly accused the United States of interfering in Pakistan's internal matters by supporting Prime Minister Sharif. Washington has rejected the charge. Ayaz Ghul for VOA News, Islamabad.
Officials in Nigeria say the Ebola virus in the country has for the first time spread to people who did not have direct contact with the country's first victim, which means the circle of those infected is widening. Nigeria's health minister announced Friday that two new people have now been confirmed to have Ebola. Neither patient had direct contact with Patrick Sawyer, an infected Liberian-American who first brought the disease to Lagos from Liberia.
This also means that the total number of cases of Ebola viral disease so far recorded in the country is 14, that is including the index case. The number of deaths still remains at 5, while the number of those successfully managed and discharged also remains at 5.
The health minister says the new patients are spouses of medical workers who had contact with Sawyer. The development comes as the World Health Organization announces the death toll from the epidemic in West Africa has risen to 1,427 people. The WHO on Friday said there are 2,615 confirmed cases of Ebola in four African countries. I'm Marty Johnson reporting from Washington.
That's the latest world news from VOA.
In Portuguese, we say, a melhor variedade mundial no Music Mix da Voz da América.
Everybody says, the world's best variety, VOA Music Mix.
Come to the land of living dreams, where realists dream of the unreal. Beatniks at their bawdiest. The creative urge at its most primitive.
For those of you with heart conditions, or who are with young and impressionable children, we ask that you turn around in your seats.
Alive! It's alive! It's...
Little Steven's Underground Garage.
Underground Garage.
Underground Garage.
Underground Garage.
Underground Garage.
Underground Garage.
Now they will know why they are afraid of the dark. Now they will learn why they fear the night.
There is nothing wrong with your television set. Do not attempt to adjust the picture. We are controlling transmission.
I want counterculture. I want anti-establishment.
This is mass madness, you maniacs! You maniacs!
Quiet, numbskulls, I'm broadcasting.
Lies, lies, you're telling me that you'll be true. Lies, lies, that's all I ever get from you. Tears, tears, I shed a million tears for you. Tears, tears, and now you're loving someone new.
Celebrating film noir here this week in the Underground Garage, and I'm determined to get to the bottom of it. I don't know what this film noir is, but it's got something to do with dames and guns and booze and Venetian blinds. Now, these are things I know something about, except, of course, the Venetian blinds. And oh yeah, it's about deception and betrayal and lies. And lies, we know all about that, don't we, Angel? You try to buy my loyalty with your lies, but it's not gonna work. No, Angel, I'm sending you over. Chances are you'll get life and you'll be out in 20 years. If they hang you, Precious, by that sweet neck, well, I hope you'll leave me that jacket. I've always liked it. The name is Spade. I get $25 a day in expenses.
She's a queen, a criminal, a snake. St. Valentine burned at the stake. A bloody lamp. Radiation blues. Sweet death is quick, but no, not you. You dig it when I suffer. 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 Staple of my insides, honey. Metallic.
Good, not bad.
With Bath?
With Bath, and come out, wherever you are.
With Bath, eh? There's half as many baths as there is rooms. Half the rooms has baths and half hasn't. That's one way of looking at it. Another is, for each two rooms, one has a bath in the middle and the other hasn't. Or, you might say, there's a half a bath to each of two rooms.
How is that again, now?
There's half as many baths as there is rooms, and if the two...
Sir...
I've already sent the boy with those bags up to your room, Mr. Masterson.
Chico wears a jacket that says Rebels on the back. His neighborhood's a jungle, so he travels with a pack. I get so mad,
This is Mark Lindsay, former lead singer from Paul Revere and the Raiders, and you're with Little Steven in the Underground Garage. Now stand back. I think my consciousness is expanding out of control.
Do you got this need to know what I'm all about? Well, there's something that you do you can't figure out. Well, now you wanna know what moves my soul and what ticks inside of my brain. Well, I've got this need I just can't control, and it's driving me insane. Can't take it, ow, because I'm hungry for those good things, baby. Hungry through and through. I'm hungry for that sweet life, baby, with a real fine girl like you. I can almost taste it, baby, and it's sweet as wine. Wanna own someday with a special place up high. We can stay alone, you and me. Girl, I'm gonna have it all someday if you just hang on to my hand. If I break some rules along the way, girl, you gotta understand. Yes, I'm hungry for those good things, baby. I'm hungry through and through. Well, I'm hungry for that sweet life, baby. A real fine girl like you. I can almost taste it now. Oh, it's sweet as wine. Well, I ain't gonna waste it now. Well, it's finally mine.
Welcome to the Underground Garage. We are celebrating film noir this week, using the excuse of John Huston's birthday. Talk about getting it right the first time. John's first movie is considered the first film noir. We'll talk about that in a minute. Knickerbocker's got us started with Lies. There should be a statue of them in Bergenfield by now. Written by singer Buddy Randall and the great guitar player Bo Charles. And produced by Jerry Fuller, one of the best examples of the Beatles school being put to good use. Run, 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 Hit and Run, Hugo Haas, 1957. Night Runner, Abner Biberman, 1957. Woman on the Run, Norman Foster, 1950. And A Fugitive from a Chain Gang, 1932, Mervyn LeRoy. A lot of running in that, baby. And The Who, first song from their second record, A Quick One While He's Away. That's very film noir itself, isn't it? Fool's Gold, a rather prevalent theme in a lot of film noir. From Graham Parker and the Rumors' second record, Heat Treatment, produced by Mutt Lang.
St. Valentine was John and Brittany. The new EP is Stories to Be Told. Will be coming shortly. John and Brittany writing and producing. Get it from johnbrittany.com.
Chico's Girl, by the great Barry Mann and Cynthia Weil. Originally done for the Crystals, I believe, which I don't think ever has been released. I'll check on that. That version was by the Girls, Marjorie Rosemary and Sylvia Sandoval. And it looks like it was produced by Steve Douglas, interestingly enough. And Hungry. Everybody's hungry for something in film noir. Paul Revere and the Raiders with the great Mark Lindsay singing lead, giving us a Barry Mann and Cynthia Weil exacta. They wrote that one too, and Terry Melcher producing.
Smoke 'em if you got 'em. We'll be waiting here in the shadow.
Where radio continues to evolve.
And you're part of it.
VOA Music Mix.
Welcome back to the Underground Garage. We are doing a little film noir festival in honor of John Huston's first movie as a director. First movie, The Maltese Falcon. Can you imagine that? Now, defining film noir is like defining garage rock. It's impossible. But you know it when you see it, or hear it. Whatever. Most date the era from The Maltese Falcon, 1941, to A Touch of Evil in 1958. But, you know, you can pick your date, really. Generally, very generally, the look comes from an odd combination of German expressionism from the 20s, you know, Fritz Lang and all those cats, which used an exaggerated, extreme, gothic lighting style, kind of the way you remember a nightmare if you dream in black and white, combined with post-war Italian neorealism, which is the opposite. It's just like documentary reel, like the title suggests. You throw in the early gangster movies and the creativity forced on directors and producers by low budgets, and throw all those things together, and a certain visual style emerged that became noir. The content of film noir, again, is a bunch of things, but you could start with Edgar Allan Poe's Murders in the Rue Morgue, published exactly 100 years before The Maltese Falcon hit the screen, back in 1841. Poe created the prototype eccentric detective, C. Auguste Dupin, who lived in seclusion in a Baroque ancestral mansion, accompanied only by a modest court reporter who was there conveniently to narrate the story. The detective was famous for his powers of deduction and ability to reason, and if this sounds familiar, Arthur Conan Doyle would rip it off completely 45 years later with Sherlock Holmes and Watson. The writers that would define noir would be James M. Cain, Dashiell Hammett, Raymond Chandler, and particularly Ernest Hemingway in the 20s and 30s. They would popularize the concept of colloquial expression. In other words, the use of everyday language, conversational. And that all began with Mark Twain's Huckleberry Finn back in 1884. But it took until the 20s and 30s before it became used regularly. Dashiell Hammett would also bring the hard-boiled characters back to the urban jungle where they belonged. Mystery at that point had become rather predictable. So in film noir, they started to replace the emphasis on plot with an emphasis on style and character. For the first time, the line between good guys and bad guys got blurred. Even the term murder mystery was one that the writers didn't want to be associated with anymore. When someone would compliment James Cain on his latest murder mystery, he would say, "Some of my characters kill people. They do it for sex or money. There is no mystery." Suddenly, facial expressions, gestures, camera angles, lighting, dialogue, all were employed to reveal the truth of the characters. The biggest distance between the existing film world and noir was in the typical movie. Even gangster movies all had an uplifting, dependable, consistent, moralistic sense of security and stability. Noir replaced that with a world of deception, betrayal, lies, frustration, and injustice, which is why it was never that popular. Even the anti-heroes you rooted for, at best, were heroic loners, living by their own code, an existence of deeply pessimistic, nihilistic alienation, experiencing an occasional awakening of impressive toughness in the face of inescapable tragedy. And that was the winners. The losers, forget about it. One sure way to tell if a movie is noir: if the protagonist is able to reconcile negative circumstances or events and learn something from the experience, it's not noir. If the hero suffers continually and never learns anything, then we are looking at genuine film noir in the light of what James Agee called the radiance of what is.
This is Bruce Springsteen, and you are listening to the heart-stopping, pants-dropping, house-rocking, earth-shaking, booty-quaking Little Steven in Little Steven's Underground Garage.
So low in the pouring rain on the I don't know nothing.
So the yellow squirt beat it, huh? Took a part of it, huh? That rat. Where'd he go? I'm asking you, where's that squealing son of yours? You think a squealer can get away from me? Huh? You know what I do to squealers? I let them have it in the belly. So they can roll around for a long time thinking it over.
Smith, why don't you drop by tomorrow evening around 8:30? He'll be in then.
Who?
My husband. You were anxious to talk to him, weren't you?
Yeah, I was, but I'm sort of getting over the idea, if you know what I mean.
There's a speed limit in this state, Mr. Neff. 45 miles an hour.
How fast was I going, officer?
I'd say around 90.
Suppose you get down off your motorcycle and give me a ticket.
Suppose I let you off with a warning this time.
Suppose it doesn't take.
Suppose I have to whack you over the knuckles.
Suppose I bust out crying and put my head on your shoulder.
Suppose you try putting it on my husband's shoulder.
That tears it.
Past. Think about it, got to give it a chance. Got a feeling it's never gonna last now. Been looking for someone like you. Driving 90 miles an hour. Now a dead end street. Driving 90 miles an hour. All across my back. Oh, I got my fun, but it's just another one. You got me shaking. Here comes the sun. I see you later, cause I can't stick around anymore. Never met no one like you.
Set with Restless Nights, Bruce Springsteen and E Street Band's Finest Moment. Of course, it was never released. That's how you keep your mystique. It would come out later on the Tracks collection.
Baby, It's You was Stupidity, out of Stockholm, Sweden. New album is Four from Go Fast Records. You can get it from stupidity.se. Lots of cool stuff on that thing.
We said our goodbyes the night before. And then, who knows? The Beatles from Help, my favorite Beatles album. Paulie wrote that one, sang it in the field. Remember that scene? They were freezing their... you see Ringo's teeth chattering. Go get that movie if you have never seen it.
90 miles an hour down a dead-end street. The Empty Hearts, baby. Yeah, brand new super group. Clem Burke, Elliot Easton, Wally Palmer, Andy Bebuk. Four very cool cats forming what will be one of the great bands in Garage Land. And that's all there is. There is no sanctuary but the Underground Garage for the rebels of the wasteland. It used to be called rock and roll. Empty Hearts, baby. We'll be back
broadcasting from right here in the naked city. So get naked and I'll be right back. And don't start without me.
Sometime, if you can stop being a detective long enough, you might have a drink with me.
I'd like to. I like brandy.
You've been begging for more variety.
Input noted.
VOA Music Mix.
Welcome back to the Underground Garage. We are always celebrating something here. And this week it is a genre of movie making called film noir. If you don't know the term, it's just the dark side of life portrayed realistically in a surreal way. Not always a happy ending. Not always an obvious good or a bad guy. Melodrama, but always a revelation or two. We always learn something about ourselves from a film noir movie, whether we like what we learn or not. We here at the Underground Garage have learned one thing about ourselves. We are the freaks, misfits, and outcasts who still believe in the power, the revelation, the salvation, and the redemption of rock and roll. And once a week, we honor one of our own, one who has the eternal spirit, and whose work continues to inspire and motivate us, whatever their field of expertise may be. We designate that individual our Freak of the Week. And this week, it is an individual who brought a uniquely effective cinematic quality to his records. Some film noir, some teenage B-movie, but all very cool. We're talking about George Shadow Morton. Born in Richmond, Virginia, Shadow grew up in Long Island. He went to school with Ellie Greenwich, the legendary songwriter, had a doo-wop group like most kids in those days called the Marquees, but didn't take music too seriously. So cut to a few years later, and he's talking to a friend who tells him that their friend Ellie Greenwich from high school is now having hit records with the Ronettes and Darlene Love, and just for the hell of it, he calls her. She invites him to the Brill Building, 1619 Broadway, and as the story goes, Jeff Barry, Ellie's husband at the time and writing partner, is in the room and kind of tinkling away on a piano with his back to George and Ellie as they're talking. And George, whether he imagined it or whatever, feels some tension there, you know. So when Jeff asks George what he does for a living, he senses a competitive attitude and kind of blurts out, he writes songs the way they do. Jeff says, well, that's great, that's cool, you know, bring us one next week. Okay, so what happens next goes into the book of unbelievable but true rock and roll lore. Out of pure ego and willpower, George Shadow Morton, a man with virtually no musical experience, organizes musicians, finds some singers, writes a song, and produces Remember Walking in the Sand by the Shangri-Las. And that's what he hands Jeff Barry a week later. This is true, I swear to God. They added the Seagulls and a little bit of Echo and put it out on Lieber and Stoller's Redbird label, and it went to number 5. It's an unbelievable record. George would have more hits with the Shangri-Las, but then he would also do the Vanilla Fudge records. He would hang out with the Rascals. He did Janis Ian's Society's Child, and he did the New York Dolls' second record, Too Much Too Soon, among others. The man, what can I say? He's a genius. He's a freak. He's our Freak of the Week. We thank you and salute you, George Shadow Morton.
Why should I? I've seen all the dames in it already. Want to make something of it?
You're a little off your beat, ain't you, Buster?
How do you mean, Humpty Dumpty?
I mean you don't belong around here. You're just passing through.
Only not fast enough.
If I ever see you running over a cat, I'll kick your teeth out.
I'd take you apart if you were about a foot taller and straightened up a little.